Okay, today's daf is Chaf Dalet, and we were discussing again case very like interesting cases of Rebbe, complex cases. And these next few lines, we're going to explain like the Mara Fulda. So if you remember, we've been talking about like iskas and things like that. So, or not iskas, well, other business arrangements supply. So again, the idea is you can make an arrangement with someone to supply you some wheat, particular volume, the price it is now, even though it might go up in value, provided that either you give him the money, so he could purchase it himself, or Yetzer Hashar, we said, or he could simply, you know, those are the two justifications as we explained. So the interesting case was that we saw that we finished the shiur was, is let's say someone owed someone some money, and he came to pay him back, and he wanted to get his money back, and he said, look, I'd like to buy wheat. And he says, listen, not a problem, I'll supply you wheat over the year for the rate it is now. You can't do that because if the wheat goes up in value, it's going to be interest because he doesn't have any money at hand to purchase anything. That was the issue. So what the Gemara now say is that Amarav Modi Revchiach means referring to his uncle, Vekana Min Kvar Shari. So again, these next few lines, people, the different parts explain it differently, but I explain it now according to the Marafulda. He says that if Mishat. I'll just show you here. She nay mo b'shtat matamod. That initially, when you took the money for that loan, she im lo yitnu ma'od b'shag. If he doesn't return it, shatagrem shiyeh hafsaka chala mikvar. Then it will turn to piska from now. Then it's fine, because the piska, meaning the agreement to supply wheat, would then be chal at the time when he had the money in his hand, when he was given the money. So even though it seems to be like a retroactive play here, we're trying to do, it seemed to be okay. Mikvah Mishat was there, and the next few cases as well. Let's explain. If he has to pay him like a rental, now this isn't the same as a loan. This is just money he owes him by way of rental, and he's have to pay him at that point in time. Is by the and he says, okay, I'll supply you wheat instead over the next 12 months, based on that chol, the law machmirinan kulahai. This is a chiddush here. They were not so machmir ella amat halva'ah, meaning that the way we ended last year is the reason you can't do psika al halva'ah because it was a loan. We're more machmir by a loan. But if it was money that was owed by way of like a rental fee, then that's okay. Which is interesting the way he explained it. But could it be here to be bubbly? Like he said, brings the Bali approval. Because he needs to pay money. The davke shekvar, and that's why that's shekvar chayav lo asrirut. That's only if he really has to pay in the rental, and after he turns it into an iska. Aval ima knia kodim leigra. If, however, it's the other way around, you did a psika alama asrirut chayav lo. But if it's like, oh, let's do a psika now based on srirut, I'm going to have to pay you. Now remember, srirut is mishdelemet basof. The money is only due at the end. Then it's not. Then it'll be. I'll skip a bit. Then asur, because it's not as if the money's in his hand. So I'll read the words inside the Gemara and I'll explain it outside. Igra mikvar v'kana batar ken. Then it's shari. Kana mikvar igra and batar ken. Then it's asur. So just to summarize the sugya current of Mara Fulda's piece here, he is saying that okay, if someone owes someone money. And he said, "Why do you?" And the person wants his money back. And he says, "Look, I'll just supply you wheat over the next 6 months according based on the price. Now it's no good. The money's not in hand." The kula, however, is so the three things we just learned. If, however, at the time of the loan, he says, "Look, if I don't pay you back now, can you supply me wheat based on it now, based on the price?" And that goes all the way back to the time where the money was given over. And that's fine because you've got this psika or based on or piska or based on. At the time when the money was handed over, so it's fine. And but there were also another leniency that this whole chumra of not turning this loan into this psika is when it was a loan. However, if it was based on schirut money that was owned, then it's like the money's already in hand, provided that the money was due prior to this arrangement. That's the flow of the sugya according to the Marafulda. Let's continue. Rav Elazar yav dina lechad barnash. He gave money to an individual. Amalei min. Hinun abdin mikan ad Chanukah, didi mitaman v'lahalan lately imach asuk in pachtin v'tim. So what he said is he gave me some money. He says, listen, any profits that's made from here to Chanukah is going to be mine. Anything after Chanukah, it's all yours. Profit and loss, you take full responsibility. Which is interesting because he effectively got what's called a pikadon in the beginning. He's entrusted with the property of the person, and it becomes like halva after. Now, what's the assumption is the reason why the problem is normally we say is that his Torech is looking after the Pikadon for nothing. Shouldn't that, and the fact that he's doing it for nothing, that seems to be a credit, if you like, for the fact that for the loan he's eventually going to be getting, should that be considered interest? That's the question. But he allowed it. Why? So Yeshlamash Yaniach to bring the Marafuld in the middle of the Dibor Machil, which is the assumption is the more profitable period and longer duration was after Chanukah. So therefore, since he gave him this arrangement, you'll make more money, etc. After that, sort of offsetting the fact he's looking after it for him during the time of the Pikadon. That's the assumption of the sugya here. So the Gemara says, however, after that, Chanukah. This person, because it was a big rav who gave him the money, he said, look, let's just split the profits after Chanukah as well. He wasn't willing to do that. The Ein Yapturin Didach. So the which says, sorry, I'm asking, but Chanukah, but he didn't accept it. The reason why I didn't like that is because in the time after Chanukah, the person accepting it was taking full responsibility, and which is called Rachok Lehefsed. The Rabbi Lazar himself wasn't enduring any loss, and he was going to get some enjoy some of the profit. That's effectively like a loan, which is Karov Leschar. I mean, I'm going to get profit guaranteed, if you like, or the share in the profits. But Rachok Lehefsed, I'm not going to lose anything. That's he treated that like a loan with interest. Okay, so but the arrangement though that seemed to be okay was okay. It's basically instead of like mine, all profits and everything until Chanukah, and after that, it's considered effectively like yours for a certain period of time. You accept full responsibility. You can draw the profits and loss. Okay, and we said that it's not considered interest. The fact of looking after the Pikadon in the earlier period because the assumption is he was getting more, if you like, more. The fact was he having these profits for this period after was going to offset that. That's our son, and the Gemara continues. The Tanikin as well, Karov Schar Rachok Hefsed, if you have an arrangement where you're going to get profits and then other losses, so the full responsibilities in your so-called business partner here, then that's considered like interest, that's Midar Rishayim. If it's Karov Hefsed Rachok Schar, if however you're sharing, it says you're sharing in the responsibility, Rachok Schar, in other words, you're paying off, like substituting for the fact. This is the normal Iska case where, you're going to split the profits, so half it's a pikadon for the other individual, half it's havala, and you're offsetting and you're paying him some of the profits. We're saying that's sorry, that's korov zelazer, barochok zelazer, zemi koladan. But let me just go over the one I just skipped, which is korov hefse, barochok schar, zemi de tzadikim. Meaning, if you're happy to accept all the responsibility, but meaning the person giving it over, and rachok schar and only shared some of the profits, we're saying that's zemi de tzadikim. Because why would someone do that? It would only be that he's, in other words, why would you have an arrangement? You're willing to give someone something to invest. He's going to invest it for you. And you say to him, look, if it goes down, I'll take full responsibility. I'll bear all the losses. And you've got nothing to lose. And we'll just share in the profits. Why would you do that? You do that because you want to give this guy a head start. It's like a tzedakah type of situation. So in that situation, that's why it's midat tzadikim. That's how it'd be. And I heard of stories of like these business people went to like these kollels one time, and there was a government scheme of some sort that or some investment thing that was limited per person. And he said to all the Bahrain, sign up, I'll pay for each and one of the investments and we'll share the profits. And if it goes down, it will go down. Like, in other words, he just needed their names on the sheets. And he ended up, so what he was basically doing for nothing, he was basically giving profits to this for this kollel. It was like that was he was taking the full responsibility of the hefsed and Karoscha, that's Midat Tzadikim. It seems to be like here. Let's continue. Rebitzak gave money to an individual, or by the Mevadla, he wanted to do like this exact arrangement with Rabbi Lazar, Velokibalelavi. Now, some of Rashi explained this exactly the same story where he wanted to share the profits after the so-called Chanukah period. But the way the Marafulda explains it, actually, I think he's saying that. He didn't want to do the arrangement with Rabbi Lazar. Meaning, I don't want to have this arrangement where I share the profits after Chanukah, I get all the profits and responding to Chanukah, and you after that, because there is no offset unless I pay you for looking after my pikadon during the period. And it'll be considered like the fact you're looking after the property during the period where I'm enjoying all the profits, where it's a pikadon, you're doing that for free, could be considered like the interest that I'm enjoying as a result of the period after it, where it's considered like a loan. So therefore, he didn't like it all altogether. Okay, let's continue. He gave 40 dinarim to an Idumean village to buy him some flax. Yakra kitna went up in value. Ata Shaila went to ask Rav. So Amarle, Azil. So let's just understand the case here. If you look at the Maraful, the Dirumatka, Ata Shaila Rav, about four lines down, it says, Aval Kam, Mashmais, explain the case. Shatanma Odli Pishtan, he gave him money to buy some flax, Bishara Zol, when it was cheap, and it went up in value. The so-called agent here want to return the money. Why do you want to return the money? Because it's going to be too expensive to buy it now. He missed those opportunity to buy it. But Amarle Rav, she told me men, also he says no, he has to still go through the deal. Amar Rav, he has to provide as was agreed upon. She ten gdolim kamoshinim karim b'shar azol. B'shar. In other words, it was meant to be $5 a kilo. I don't care if it's gone up to $10 a kilo. You've got to apply him all that at the rate of $5 a kilo, all the wheat you said you were going to provide. Why is she isabali? Because if the money came in your hand, it's like a normal piece, like the so-called supply arrangement. So therefore, the fact it went up in value is enjoyed by Rav Kahana. Fi'ikashiyas, my sha'al Rav Kahana matnitin. What's even the question? Matnitin, we know this poski in this psika, this poski in alashar, shebashuk, afa pisha in lazelazet. So Vieshlamar says, no, the reason why this is a question is because their hatam, it was a psikahu. In the case of the Mishnah, we from the outset says, I'm making, it wasn't a shaliach. He was making in this a business arrangement. Okay, you're going to be my supplier. However, shaliach. In this case, bischar is like he's just paying him like an agent to go get it. Vieshlamar shikach. Sorry, the in other words, you relied on him to go and buy it, and the person was negligent, the shaliach's negligent, didn't buy it at that time, wants to go back. The question is this the same as a normal case of poskin el hashar? And the answer was, yes, it is. Okay, let's continue. Bikesh Rabbi Labtir Klita, or Shalim, or Shalyam is different gears here. Volonech Rabbi Yishmael Berebi, Ita Amri, Rabbi Yishmael Berebi, Bekesh Latir, Volonech Rabbi. So he wanted to do some sort of arrangement. We don't know what it is yet. And either Rebbe wanted to, Rabbi Yishmael Berebi also didn't allow it, or the other way around. So my Kelito Shel Yam, or Shalim, what it is, Bar Nash, what is it? What's the case? Bar Nash Yai Bechavre Meya Dinarim. Now the Meya, well, the way that, again, I'll show the Marfil here, it has a different Girsa. He says Mahu Dinarim. So it's, So, Bavli Bikesh Rebbe Lasso Begrutarot Ken. Grutarot is like to simply bag coins. Veloinich Rebbe Shmab Yossi. I'll just explain. Venira da Zeha Maisa da Hacha. Mahu Donarim, not Mea, Mahu Donarim. Shivre Darim Mechukim. They're just sort of like bad coins, like wiped out coins. Vechen Shar Minei Malachol, just like, what's it called? Pieces of metal, scrap metal. V'hainu shebikesh la'asot ken le'aniyim chamerim de'itmar bavli shemalim b'makom ha'yoker k'makom ha'zol. You want to make this, have this arrangement. V'atam de'migli lutar, because the price had already come out. So this seems to be a simple case of poskin. However, v'lo nichi didn't allow it. She'ein shayach kan kulei hay de'migli lutar k'mo b'tvua. Because the shara that came out is not as clear in the case of shara. In other words, you've got like commodities or stock standard products like wheat. You can say it's a hashara, and that can be the basis to do this psika. However, when it came to these grotarot, or these like these scrap metal type of coins, bad coins, you don't have that same yatsa hashara isn't doesn't have the same concreteness that would allow this type of arrangement. That's what it sounds like. Now I'm going to continue with the girsa that you have probably had in front of you, not with the newer Ozvadar. It says kugun inlin diavim avidata. Now this seems to be a different case. The people that give some sort of schorla ilim mafarshin, the people that are mafarshayam, l'resisim metrei kasustavan or mishlosh kasuvim ein ela hatrasha. What's that case? Well, again, I have to look at the marafolda for this. He says kugon otan shulim avirat, which is some sort of stock. He gave it to the mafarshayam sailors. L'resisim shem midenaj me'everam. So they're going to this other place. Molechim sham, they're taking the schorah. V'shamaschora, and there they're going to be able to sell it for a better price. And they take from the bale batim, mimakomazov, from a chief place, umeshalmim, and they're going to pay them the price they're going to get at this, expensive location. Good business. However, Elam mitaskim b'ma'ot, they're going to use that money, shekonim sham schorah v'omlechim lakan. When they buy it, and when they buy and sell, and when they bring it back. So therefore, on the way there, it's like a pikadon, and on the way back, it's like a malveh. Ah, we're going to run into a problem now, because if it's like a pikadon on the way there and a malveh on the way back, you're osek bi pikadon bischar malveh. Isn't this going to be interest? And the answer is, it says metrein kasustim or mitlata kasustim per sharoch. It says that's a midah. It's a lot of, and it's also a lot of effort. It's a huge volume they're taking. So there, afil hachim. Why? Despite the fact that they're putting exertion effort, bisman pikadon, then we say before the mal for the, in other words, and that's into doing that for free, and what is that interest for the time that they get the money and it's considered like a malvra during that on the way back. Loich batna, we don't care. In other words, this is an expression, he also brings expression of the Bavli, that sometimes having this extra stock with them, they enjoy a benefit of having it with them. Okay? They get fetch better prices. The example that was brought in the Bavli is where he took the stock of a particular Rav, and it was an advantage to have the stock with him. It wasn't considered like a ribbit. He didn't have to pay him anything because why? When he got there, firstly, people will give him better prices because he's got the rabbi stock. Secondly, he had first sale. It gave him precedence. So there were all these other side benefits that he was enjoying that offset the fact that he was looking after it for him during that Pikadon period. That's effectively the way he explains this sukkah. That's the way he explains the Tarsha. So Nagamara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Shneim Amru Devar Echad, they're both the same thing. So if you remember, we're talking about that there was a three-way debate in our Mishnah regarding the Zevil. It's done. Where is it? I'll just show you the Ashba. Zebel Ashba taught. Rabbi Yossi says you cannot make a ain't poskin. You can't make this arrangement on Zebel. Ad sheyeshlo, until he has his own, because we're scared that he might not build enough to make this arrangement, and it's not considered for yeshlo. You like to ashar. And there was a debate between all the opinions. Some people said it during the rest of the year, the whole year it's okay because there's plenty. If he doesn't have, somebody else has. It's like it's ashar. If like it's all really available. Those are three-way opinion. But what we're saying now is the Rebbe Yossi's concern he doesn't have it seems to align with Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah's opinion back in Shmita. Why? If you remember, the problem was if you want to take out the Zevel and make piles, if you like, during the Shmita year, the concern is if you do a small amount, it will look like you're doing fertilizing during Shmita. You're doing Avodah Karki. You're not allowed to do that. So therefore, Rachachamim says it's not a problem. You can start with a pile, and you can just add to it. You'll get more. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seems to be like Rabbi Yossi that says we're concerned. No. We're concerned you might not get more, and you've got the problem of appearing or effectively fertilizing. So therefore, you have to take other measures, corrective measures, to ensure that it doesn't have that problem. Which was either, if you remember, digging a small hole and putting it in there, or making a large a raised platform and putting it on top of it, or achiten lo et a sela. And that is referring to something else. Okay, let's continue. Now, the Gemara says, Lo yomar adam l'chaviro. I think it's referring to something else. Yeah. So, Lo yomar adam l'chaviro alveinu kul chitin v'anin ton lecha min ha-goren. This is a classic case of chitin b'chitin. Meaning, you can't say, lend me a kilo of wheat and I'll return it back at the end of the, by the time it comes later in the season. Okay, because the concern is it goes up in value. That's what we said is effectively like avak ribbit. Okay. The Gemara now says, sorry, 1 minute. So however, you can't say Elomelo. However, it's a short period of time, or I should say he already has it, meaning, look, I just can't get into my storehouse at the moment, but I'll give it to you once my son gets home and has a key and things like that, then that's not a problem. However, Hillel says, even then it's asur. If a woman wants to lend some bread to a friend, literally lend it, don't do that because we're scared that the prices will change. So unless you work out the actual value of it at the time. However, Shem Yukra, chitin, in case the wheat goes up, v'nimtza ba'od yedei ribbit. In other words, it'll have to be, if it's worth $5, she returns $5 worth of wheat, no matter if the volume's changed. Now, the Gemara says, Lo yomar l'chavero, so Tani, Lo yomar adam l'chavero, alveini kur chitim v'anitin l'cha l'goren. However, in other words, it seems to be the issue of the Mishnah was, you can't make this arrangement that I'll borrow a kilo of wheat and I'll return it at a much later date. Managoren. Mashma ad shtayim shel Shabbatot. If it's 2 or 3 weeks, we're not concerned as such as there'll be such a large, oh, there'll be any price fluctuations, and therefore that's okay. Ella omer lo ad shiavo beni or ad shi mapteach, etc. That's the, again, that's the addition we have here. In this, it says, however, it says Hillel oser. Hillel says no good, because even a short period. And Shmuel says halacha is like Hillel. Okay, let's now look at halacha. This is halacha chet. Next Mishnah. Let's say someone says, "Look, help me out doing some weeding, if you like, and I'll help you the next day." Or there is like using a hoe to dig. In other words, you can say, "Do it for me, I'll do it for you." And if it's like for like work, it won't be a problem of ribbit. However, you cannot say, "Lo yomer nacheshi or." If it's different types of work, the concern is you owe me help. And when you're giving back the help, your help you're giving back might be of a greater exertion, therefore greater monetary value, and it'll be considered like ribbit. That's why you cannot do that. However, let's continue. Call me garid echad, call me revi echad. In other words, it depends on the season in terms of we can judge the type of activity as being equal. However, lo yomer charoshim, you don't say plow with me during the, if like the garid is a dry season, and I'll plow with you during the wet season, because the effort required is going to be different in those times that are considered like ribbit. Okay. Rabbi Gamliel omer, yesh ribi muktevi yesh mucheret. Now we think a ribbit is I borrow money and I have to pay back plus interest. However, you can have interest that takes all manners of form. It can even be what's called prepaid interest or postpaid interest. How so? Says Keitzah, let's say someone wants to borrow money from him. And he sent him, he sends him money, some gifts. I'm giving you money so you lend me. Oh, that's ribbit mukdamet. That would be prepaying interest. Or lavami, even if he's already paid it back. And he sends him some money, he says, I'm giving you this money or this gift. Because you lent me the money. But thank you so much for the money you've lent me. I realize that that you didn't have the money to invest in your own investment, so here's a gift. Well, that's ribbit. Rabbi Shimon says, yes, ribbit, even words can constitute ribbit. Lawyer Mer law, you don't say the borrower can't say the creditor, da im Mer law, da im ba ploni or ba ploni ish ploni mimakom ploni. You provide him information that you would not normally give him. In a normal circumstance, you're only doing that because he's a creditor. Well, information has value, and that's considered ribbit. A law of Rimbalot Taseh, we'll find that if you're involved in a loan, you see there are many violations committed by not just the malveh and loveh, not just the borrower and the creditor, sorry, the same person, yeah, borrower and creditor, but also the arev, the guarantor, and also the witnesses. What are the v'chachamim? Even the sofer can be violate the prohibition. Some of these prohibitions, you'll see. So it says, "Ovrim firstly, bal titen, you should not give interest. Well, the whole passage of law titen kaspecha b'neshik, you should not give your money in interest. And bal tikach, you should not al tikach mito neshik, you should not take interest. Okay, mimeno v'al also law tiyek kenoshe, you should not be an individual who is dielo kosher law tasim on neshik giving interest v'law tasim on neshik." Also, if you're facilitating someone to do a pick and aveira, that's also an aveira. And a bit short on time, but the Maharal goes through it very carefully and shows how each of the individuals, which of the aveirot or these lavim apply to each of the characters that are involved: malveh, loveh, creditor, and witnesses. Okay. However, elo brim balot taseh. So Amar Yossi, bore kama smuyot enayim malve ribbit. Look what ribbit can do to an individual. How can blind a person? Adam kore l'chaveiro. Says someone calls his friend. You said you're a aver avodah zarah, or you're megaleh arayot, or you're unfaithful. You sleep with other people, right? V'sholech dam, you're a murderer. If someone's accused of that, what's he going to do? Mevakesh l'redim chol l'chayav. It's going to start a fire. The guy's going to defend himself with all this koach. However, in this situation, where he's doing an avera bahala socher, what the person is, he's doing an avera, but not only he's just doing an avera, he's not that he's trying to, he, not just he's not going to cover it over, he hires his socher a'edim, a lavlar, he gets a contract, he gets someone to write up the contract, he gets witnesses, vamele and boba, idu, come and testify, shekafar b'makom, that I have been kofir ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am now doing an Aveira. It's crazy. Anyone who is a Malveri, he's Kofer Beikar. Some will explain that's because it's Vareitim Melechecha Ani Hashem. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yoterim Masher Kofrim Beikar, Hem Chotim. Not only are Kofer, they're also sinning. They're making the Torah as if it's a forgery, like a silly document. And yet you consider you're making Moshe Rabbeinu as if he's stupid. You make it is to say that, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu was silly. Had he known about this concept of interest or the other thing, how profitable it'll be, of course he would allow it, but he doesn't know what he's talking about. In other words, by charging interest, that's effectively what you're saying. You're saying you know better than the Torah. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kasher Ribid, Af HaTova Ribid. How bad is interest? Because even a favor you do to someone can be considered Ribid. Sharei Amar Lo Likach Yerek Min HaShuk. Let's say the lender says to the borrower, oh, you go to the marketplace, can you go to the market and buy me some vegetables? Even if he pays him fully for the service that was done, Af Al Pish Natan Lo Ma'otav, Harei Zeh Ribid, it could still be considered Ribid. Meaning just doing a favor. Again, the general understanding is that the guy wouldn't have done it if it wasn't the fact he was his creditor. Now, Rabbi Shimon or Akasha Rabbi Sha'afshi La Shalom, even just saying hello could be considered ribbit. Losha, let's say the two individuals, the borrower and creditor, had nothing to do with one another. But as a result of the loan, you might think, oh, Hakarat HaTov. No, the borrower should say good morning. But now he's going to say good morning to him. Harei ze ribbit. You've got a problem with ribbit. V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, kol sheyesh lo ma'od ve'einu malavim beribbit. Anyone who has money and doesn't charge interest. Alav HaKata omer, he doesn't give his money out as interest. Asa Now, what's the continuation of loy mot leolam? He will not falter. So the problem is, it doesn't say. I don't know what this is referring to. Because if you mean not falter financially, you have lots of people that don't charge interest and they're not millionaires, and their businesses go bad. So what's this faltering talking about? So mao uba shlomo piresh hatzel lukachin lamavet. Sorry. That here, the understanding that the context of the pasuk is this matim is referring to hereg, to murder, and then in other words, someone who doesn't get involved in ribit, it will be saved from this from murder. It seems to be suggested. With that, we say adranach perakezur neshech, which I found to be quite a difficult perak. Hashem, we'll start the next perak tomorrow. Right, kol tov, tov v'derech.